I've been going to the house of the Lord for so many years now, it seems like I don't even know how to go to the world. It's a good thing. Because once you get into the realization that you don't belong there no more, you don't belong there no more. You know, I for the last few days, all I can hear is this the song of Open Heaven. Just steadily ringing in my soul. When I wake up, before I go to sleep, fire, consume me. Consume me. Burn out those things that cause me to separate my love from you. How many of us want to be close to God? Amen. And really, truly wants to be close to God? Amen. Want to do his will? Amen. Fight against your own soul. Because a lot of times, our choices are stopping us from getting close to him. Those who don't know me, my name is David. I'm from Total Freedom. I'm part of this ministry. Pastor Guy is not with us today. And he sends blessings to each and every one of you. He hopes that everybody's in their right mind. And everybody is doing their part so that the kingdom can be expanded in the right way. Amen? Let's just go right into the word. Let's go to Psalms 119. We're going to go through 119 through a couple of verses, and then we're going to move on to this. Verse 119, verse 1 through 8. It says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do not do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I will not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteousness judgment." Thank you, Rick. "I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly." But the first thing we need to do before we come into the house of praise is examine our own hearts. And make sure that we're coming into the house of God with a clean, pure heart. Because our worship can be veiled. Because it could be just lip service and not a heart service. So if we come in the house of God and we're holding on transgressions and acts of sin and things that is not of God, and we're coming in with bitterness, unforgiveness, it does not, in God's eyes, he cannot receive that. Because he's not seeing the form of him. And that's what he's looking for, is him, his character, his image, and his likeness. Let's move on to verse 33. 33 says here, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes." So we have to learn it, don't we? That means it's a process every day. "And I shall," what? "Keep it to the end." So once you learn it, you're supposed to keep it. Not throw it away. Not to give it to somebody else. You're supposed to carry it so that it be a part of your life. Because if it's not a part of your life, then you're really not loving him. Because it says, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk." Make me. Make me. How many of y'all tell him to make you? Amen. Make me walk. Even when I don't feel like it. There's some days I don't feel like it. How about y'all? And I have to say, "Lord, you got to cause me to do this thing because my flesh is overcoming my spirit. And my flesh is supposed to submit to my spirit, man." Amen? It says, "Make me walk in the path of your commandments, so I delight in it." So that we should delight in when God is telling us to do something that seems burdensome. We should delight it. Because we know that it's going to bring us what? Life. It's going to bring you life. Because it's changing the course of what you once was to a new being. It says, "Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to" what? "Fearing you." And fearing God is not just shaking your boots and just being quivering. But fearing the Lord is to honor, reverence, and respect him. That's the way that we're supposed to show the fear of the Lord. It's to honor, reverence, and respect him. Knowing that he's always standing before us. knowing that everything that we do, choices and likewise, we knowing that he perceives everything that we're doing, especially when we're talking. How many of us get out of our minds and start talking gibberish things that should not be worthy to be talked about? Or get angry and start spewing out words that should not be spoken. Amen. And he's standing there looking at it. And here we're trying to be like godly people, but at the same time, we're not showing the character of what he wants us to see us. Now, we got a place of repentance, but if you keep on doing it over and over and over and over and over again, it's not no repentance. Because you're not changing character. You're not changing character. It's just like you're just saying, well, I'm going to do it. I don't care who sees me. And the old man, you know, if Pastor Amik or somebody of the flock comes in, it seems like the old man comes out and he's right with you and everything. As soon as you see a pastor or somebody come, you throw the old man back in the coffin and try to bury him quickly so that they can't see the old man.
Amen.
But you got to remember, God is seeing you when you're acting these ways. And you're looking for man when God is, well, just standing right there looking at you, laughing, saying, boy, can't you get it? I'm right here. Don't you sing about me. You speak my words, but you don't know me. Because you don't know that I'm looking right at you. You don't know I'm watching your character. You don't know. Matter of fact, you're becoming a hypocrite to me because you're not being an example of my word. It says, establish your words to your servants who devote to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precept. Revive me in your righteousness. Let's go to 57. You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. I entreat. Now he said, I have said I would keep your words. He didn't tell you to keep it. You're saying yourself, when you made an oath to him, you said, I'm going to keep your words, Lord. Who stole them? Anybody know? The enemy. Because when the words sound good to you, the enemy came and stole them from you, especially when the time of a circumstance came about. You was being tested. And you missed the test because you start looking at self instead of looking at the words that you promised God that you will keep. You made a covenant. And he holds fast to that covenant. He said, I said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have bounded me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgment. I am a companion of all who fears you. So you're a companion to those who fear him. That means then you will keep yourself with people that honor, reverence, and respect him. Amen. Instead of keeping with the people that comes against the people of God. Amen. Talking about your leaders, your brothers, your fellow Christians that are walking uprightly. You know, you got people that can't stand seeing people walking upright because they can't do it. So the first thing they'll do is come against you and start speaking about you. Because they see something that they desire to have, but they won't fight to get it.
Amen.
They won't fight to get it. The earth of the Lord is full of your mercy. Teach me, again, teach me your statutes. Let's go to 113. Now, this is how a true believer should be. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. So we should hate the double-minded within ourselves. When we get double-minded towards God, When we promise God an oath and a covenant that we're going to fulfill that he has set before us, and all of a sudden something comes up and we say, well, Lord, I was thinking about doing it, but I see something else I need to do. I think we can need to change this covenant. Can't change the covenant once you put it down on an oath with God.
Amen.
He's going to hold you to it, and he's going to make sure you fulfill it because he loves you enough that he allowed you to have covenant with him. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your word, that I may what? Live. See, by doing that, you live. You don't die. You die to self, but you live for Christ. Okay. You live for the anointing. You start working for the anointing. You don't work, the anointing don't work for you. You work for it. It says, uphold me according to your word that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up and I shall be safe, and I shall observe your statute continually. You reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimony. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgment. And that's a person that knows that God can do a lot of things if you're walking wrongfully. Let's go to 153. Just skipping through this one real quick. And it says, consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgment. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treacheries and am disgusted because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth. The entirety of your word is truth. So everything that his word speak is truth. The title of this teaching today is Stand on Truth. Stand on truth. And every word and every one of your righteous judgment endures forever. Stand on truth. For if you don't stand on truth, then you stand on a lie. And lies cannot stand. They fall away every time. It has been proven. It has been proven in my life. It has been proven in your lives. And we still try to go back to the lie. And knowing that it will not stand. It doesn't stand. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6. This country right now is not standing on truth. There's a lot of things. I went online, was watching about what was going on 2 weeks in this country, the last past 2 weeks. And I've seen a lot of destruction going on over the world. Fires in France in there. And their forests, you know. Birds are being killed, dying on the coastland in Alaska. The earth is boiling in South America. And animals are just dying out the place. And the word talks about in the last days, these things are going to happen because of the sin of the land. And because people are not calling out for his name, but people are rejecting the voice of God. And the voice of God is truth. They'd rather hear the voice of self. The voice of self is the voice of who? Demons. Demons that comes from where? Satan. Amen? So because they want to have the fulfillment of the flesh, they're really not really seeking their spirit to grow. Their spirit really is dying, and their flesh is consuming this earth. And they're not being able to see, because when you're full of the flesh, you can't see clearly. And 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1 says, we then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God, where? In vain. So we don't want to walk in God's grace in vain. That means what? Walking his plan, right? We don't want to walk his plan in vain. So we have to keep the mind of truth to keep us, to keep it in the right way. It says here, for he says, in the accepted time, I have heard you. And the day of salvation that I have helped you. How many of us have been in a bad place? And we call on the name of the Lord. And he heard us. But if he didn't hear us, we wouldn't be here today. We would not be here. And now, as he heard us, now he's helping us to learn truth so that we can live. So we can live. It says, behold, now is the acceptable time, right now. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God, and much patience and tribulation and needs and distress and stripes and imprisonment and tumults and labors and sleeplessness and fasting. by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. As a believer of the Lord, you are going to go through stuff. Got to go through stuff. How else are we going to get built unless we have resistance so that we can get stronger? And a believer of the Lord, you don't have, I want to say this to the guys at Total Freedom and people that are visitors, you don't have a life. Because once you receive salvation, you made an exchange of your life for his. You made an exchange. You put away the old man so you can get a new life in the new man. And so you can be taught all the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that has not come from the earth no more, but comes from heaven. So that you can walk above the earth and direct people towards heaven. That signs and wonders can follow you. Now they're following you to cast out devils. That you can speak with new tongues. That you can raise the dead. Heal the sick. Bring conviction, rebuke, counsel, and correction. So they can get the right direction to their Savior. Now there's a price to pay. And you got to count it all joy. Through every what? Trials and tribulations, right? Because it produces what?
Patience.
So you can wait on him. Because he's been patient long enough on us. And he waited while we was in sin, doing our thing. For many years, he was waiting, hiding us in that sin too. Keeping us and put a seal. Say, that's mine. I'm going to let it go and do what it got to do, but it's mine. I labeled it. I'm waiting for the right time. I'm going to cause trouble in their life now. Now it's time for me to cause trouble because now I want them. Now I'm going to have them call out my name and here I am. Now, man, I'm going to answer them according to my will. According to my will. So they can learn a new way of life. A new way of structure. A new way of thinking. Now, you got to understand something. Through this process, though, you're going to stumble sometime. You're going to make mistakes. But we should never come to the place of falling away from him. Falling away from him. You stumble, you're supposed to get back up and grab hold and hold on harder. Not hold on lesser. Because you got to get past what the fall was the last time. Or you're going to continue to fall until it's too late. And then you give up. The greatest gift is to deny yourself. That's the greatest gift to give God, is to deny yourself. Because if you deny yourself, then he can come in and work through you. Let's go to 1 John 5. Everybody okay? 1 John 5, verse 1. The word says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And what Christ stands for? The anointing one and the anointing. And as he's the anointing one, we're supposed to carry the anointing. Amen? And everyone who loves him, who begot also loves him, who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not what? Burdensome. Oh man, you mean I can't do this? Come on, God, just one time. You know, that's the thinking that comes in people's heads, you know. Man, I just could get by with it just one time, that I could run back to God. You never know that you could get back to God. You know, it's not promising. That means then it's burdensome to hold up righteousness. It's burdensome to hold on to his commandments. It's burdensome to walk with his justice. It's burdensome to love your brother, to love your sister. How about this one? To love yourself. Amen. To love yourself. Because if you can't love yourself, then you can't love God. Amen. It says, forever is born of God, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? As you love him, you are born of him. We are the expression of his love. We are supposed to express his love to others and his character. And overcome self. Self has nothing to do with love. Has nothing to do with love. Self comes, brings lust. Because now you can't carry the word of God, which is love. You're carrying self with the voice that carries lust that comes from the devil of the enemy. That comes from the demons that speaks to you. And they bring perversion and everything else. Because God's love won't bring perversion. It'll bring truth. Bring truth. Satan can speak the same words God says, and when he touches it, it's perverse. Because the intent that's behind it is not truth. Because the verse says that he's a liar. He's a father of lies. And there's no truth in him. Amen? Yes. Let's go to John 11. Stand on truth, y'all. It's going to hurt. I promise you. I promise it's going to hurt to stand on truth. You'll get kicked out of places because you stand on truth. I'm a witness to that. Darkness has come. Darkness has come and prevailed in places that we once used to go and minister the word. And darkness had prevailed over the place, and they don't want the light there no more. So the truth can't be in there. And they tell us that we have to change our words around so we can't speak. So we got to be careful what we speak of truth. And we can't do that. I can't do that. I have to speak the truth, or I'm going to be bound up knowing I didn't speak the truth. And I know I won't be pleasing my Father. That's the most important thing. Knowing that I'm pleasing him. But not only speaking truth, but living it. I got to live what I speak. And speak what I live, so I can eat the fruits of it. Amen? Amen. John 11, 34. And he said, where you laid him, this is when Lazarus died, and everybody was looking all sorrowful and pitiful because Jesus wasn't there to save his friend. And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept because they couldn't believe what they were experiencing. They thought he was wepting over him, but he was wepting because they couldn't believe that the Father, God, was here. Because Jesus is God, isn't he? Amen? And then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead for days. Jesus said to her, Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Now, staying in the spirit, you must make a conscious effort. You can't go by what you see carnally. Because you go by what you see carnally, you'll never see heaven. You'll never see signs and miracles. You'll never be a chance to be a witness to see something grow. The total fight is to trust God, believing he will finish what he started. That's the whole thing, believing that he will finish what he started. A lot of people will start good, and then they fade out. You can't fade out doing the will of God. You have to fight, persevere, to go through so that you can see the end result. See what's next that's coming. You'll be with the expectation, see, expecting that God's got something next coming. Because you're not fighting all this and then nothing's going to come. You even said that when you go through a hardship and everything, there's a crown. And if there's a crown, you give the crown back to him so he can keep it covered and protected. You don't hold on to that thing. You give it to him. You know, every time God bless me with something, I always say, I give this back to you. Because I know if I give it back to him, he's going to protect it. It's better than me for trying to fight hard and protect it. I did that stuff in the world. When I had my money and the cars and the running around and everything else, I fought, and I was so concerned who was going to steal it. Anybody ever had that thought and thinking? All concerned about who's going to take my money? No, I give it to you, Lord. Now I know it's safe because I know I'm his child. And as long as I abide to his laws and the way that he had structured me to do, I know I'm protected, no matter how it looks in the natural realm. We're talking spiritually now. Amen? Now, the stone, let's go back to that stone where he had to remove the stone. It represents a hardened heart where it brings stench because when he was back there, he was stinking, wasn't he? Have you ever seen somebody with a hardened heart where you try to talk to him about the word of God or you just try to counsel him and all you get is stench out of them? You try to tell him, well, man, you got to understand. You're doing wrong. But you got to understand. I understand what you're saying, but God knows my heart. But bro, you're sinning, though. The stench. They're justifying. They're reasoning. They're not coming to the knowledge of truth and coming to a place to repent and get it right. They'd rather hide the sin instead of going to the one that's watching them and be honest with them and say, take this away from me so I can live. And another thing the stench does, it offends God. Because you know that he knows you know the truth, but you spiritually become ignorant to the fact. Our hearts is our attitude. And when we repent, it changes our mind. It makes you walk away from the sin. Our thinking is our heart. Because so as a man thinketh, so is he. So what comes out of the heart of a man comes where? Out of the mouth. Our conscience is our heart. So when that Holy Spirit is tugging on your conscience, he's tugging on your heart, trying to make it right. Because the Holy Spirit is always trying to lead you to what? All truth. Always tugging. He don't give up on us, but we give up on him sometimes. Now, if he purges my thinking, he purges my heart. If he purges my thinking, he purges this, and it changes. Now it's walking in the right way. Let's go to Psalms 50, verse 1. The mighty one of God, one God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth for the rising of the sun to the going down. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. Excuse me. Am I at the right place? I'm sorry, 51. Now, you know I'm pastor's son. You know that now, right? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercy, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sins, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is always before me. So he knew that sin was before him, so he had to acknowledge it, and he knew that his transgression, the act of it, because what sin brings? The presence of evil, right? And the transgression is the act of it. So he's saying, look, Lord, I need to stop before I get any further, because you keep reading, you're going to say the iniquity is going to come in, and that brings what? A curse down your family line. Amen? And it says, and my sin is always before me against you, and you I only have sin. So I remember, this is way back, when I was a baby in Christ. I'm still a baby. I'm still waiting to grow up. But in the beginning stages, when I fell into a bad sin, and I asked Pastor to forgive me, he said, did you forgive him first? I said, yeah. And I did that all the way to Pastor's house. Because I needed to change, because I wanted my heart to change. because I knew that that old man was killing me. And the worst thing to have is have torment. Torment right here. When you're looking at people and you wonder what they're looking at. And when you know you're touching unclean things. The torment. Do they know? Do they know? And some people, their heart's gotten so hardened. I don't care. They know. Because the heart's gotten so hardened that they don't even fear God no more. So that's a bad place when you don't fear God no more. Against you, you only I have sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother's conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you will make me to know what? Wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a what? A clean heart, O God, and renew the steadfast spirit within me. First he said, cleanse me, Lord, for my thinking. Then create in me a clean heart. So the thinking and the heart goes together. Goes together. It says, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressions your way, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation. And my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I will give it. That means person that just want to work for the Lord, but not want to give their heart to him. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. That means brokenness has come in. That means you know that you need him. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good and your good pleasures to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness, with burnt offerings, whole burnt offerings. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. Thank God we don't have to do that no more. Slaughter bulls and everything just to get forgiveness. But Jesus Christ did that for us once and for all, right? Thank God for that. Because I probably would faint just seeing the blood. Everybody ever been to a butcher's market where they kill the cows and everything? It's a stench in there. And it's bloody and gory. 1 Corinthians 3. But I can do all things through Christ with my eyes closed. I'll get it done somehow. 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold and silver and yada yada, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by what? Fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which is has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now, you got to understand that when we are the temple of God, it will take cooperation. It will take cooperation to do his will. He tells us what to do, you follow it. You don't change course and let the Holy Spirit change course and make and allow you to change course. But you don't change the course and say, Holy Spirit, follow me. You're supposed to be led by the Spirit. So if you change course, that means flesh has gotten in the way. The lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the what? Pride. Pride of life. Because God has to be number uno. Number uno. Because if he's not number uno, then he must, if you put him second, well, I got to take care of my family. You put him second, then he's not your God. You put him third, he's definitely not your God. He has to be number one. Because you would never have all that you have unless he was there to give it to you. You know, everything that I have came from him. Even my life. Even when I was born in my mother's womb and she tried to kill me. In that womb, she couldn't kill me. Because God preserved my life. I suppose you're looking at a dead man talking. I suppose it's been dead. But God wouldn't allow it. Amen? Thank God, too. A lot of y'all had, the enemy had assignments to destroy you so you couldn't get to your destination. Your destination got you to here to get the truth. A lot of us was in jail. A lot of us in jail right here. You don't have to be in prisons or in jail. Right here is jail when your mind is bound up, when there's no truth there, when you don't even know the truth and can't get set free. And then the worst place is getting set free and going back into the jail. Now it's worse. Because you know the truth, now you can't walk it. And it hinders you. Everybody okay?
Amen.
Let's go to James 1. Thank God for his mercy and grace. His mercy considers, he considered us while we were yet in sin, how he was going to rescue us. He considered us. While he was doing our dirty deeds. Then he put his plan in action through his grace and escaped us from his wrath so that we can be saved from the damnation that's coming as long as we walk in his will. James 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his what? Own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruit of his creation. So many people are deceived by their desires. Many people are deceived by that. It should be our desires to walk in God's perfect will. That should be our desire. Should be nothing else but the one to walk in God's perfect will. Not the good and acceptable. That's good for the people that are on the outer court and the inner court. But to be in the most holy place, you want to walk, in the will of God. To get the 100% full, the perfect will. Because we're being at total freedom, you can't say that you don't know the truth. Every teaching that we have, there's truth. You go back in your notes, all you see is truth, 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 truth. You have to be really have a deaf and dumb spirit to say you don't believe. When so much truth has been given to you and you're still fighting for your own life, that means then you're not really giving your whole heart to him. You just gave him a partial of your heart. But to give you your whole heart, that means you don't take it back. You let it go and let him do what he needs to do with it so that it can change and transform you into another image of his likeness. Something that you don't even know about. See, 5 years from now, you might not, somebody come up to you and say, man, what happened to you? And you don't even realize how much you changed because you practice daily, every day, walking in truth. You start talking truth, and you start talking stuff that you don't even think you're going to talk. It just come out your mouth because you have practiced it so long. It just become you. And then when you're around evil, you feel uncomfortable around it. You be like, I can't be around this stuff because it's not agreeing with my spirit. Amen?
Amen.
His will to, now I have here, his will to rescue us and for us to walk in his will is to walk in truth and practice righteousness. That's what I wrote down. To walk in his will, we're supposed to practice righteousness. Let's go to 3 John. I know I'll get long-winded in a minute. Those who know me. You can't help when the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has truth. I woke up this morning. You know, when I did this teaching, I was trying to do it, and the phone calls were ringing, and people calling, and babies hollering, and I said, okay. I said, I'm done. I laid down, went to bed and everything, woke up this morning, and go in the bathroom, all kinds of bombardments comes in my head, and just start writing stuff down. Because, you know, God, you know, sometimes people try to do the thing, I'm going to do a teaching right now, and that's not what God wants. He wants to sometimes do it to you suddenly, you know, and minister to you. And some things you have to walk through. Anybody walk through a teaching? Before you taught it? Or walk through it after you taught it? Amen? 3 John 2. It's, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prosper. Your soul is your what? Your mind, your will, and your emotions, right? So we want to see each and every area prosper. Our mind, we want our thoughts to prosper. We want our will, the will of God, to prosper in our life. Because there's two wills now. There could be the will, three really, the will of God, the will of self, or the will of Satan. And those two wills go together. Amen? And then we want to see our health prosper too, right? So that we can do the work. Because you can't do the work laying in the hospital in the bed and can't reach nobody. Amen? So we have to use wisdom to know how to take care of ourselves. Thank God gave me a wife to make sure I take care of myself. You can't have that. Okay. Then all my brothers and sisters follow along behind her and helps me. For I rejoice greatly with brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. No greater joy to God is to see us walk in truth, being truth led, being truth filled, being truth with the tongue of truth, with the hope of truth, building things with truth, lying down in truth, standing up for truth, fighting for truth. It blesses them. And you'll have people, well, we'll talk about that later. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds are the gods of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your bondservants, for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commands light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Where there is truth, there is a manifestation. Where there is truth, there is a manifestation. It could be either evil or righteousness. Because the evil, if it's evil, it's perishing and it's decaying. It's going to perish. It's going to decay. Not accepting the light that is Jesus, they are dying. Salvation without the anointing brings deception. So let me repeat that again. Salvation without the anointing brings deception. That's when we have a lot of churches out here teaching false doctrines. No anointing. Or they have a mixed anointing. And you can't tell the difference because it's so fine. Because the word says that Satan's so subtle. He's so cunning. He can take the word. He can speak this word. Like I said, it's the intent that's behind it. If it's not touching God's heart, it got to be touching somebody else's heart. Okay? They will walk in it. It will affect the children. And the message of deception will continue down to their children. That's where Hosea 4:6 comes in and says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because we reject knowledge, that means truth, I will reject your children to the third and fourth generation. Just because you reject the knowledge, that means you're rejecting the truth of what it is. Because you might know the knowledge, but if you're not walking it, you're still rejecting it. Now walking in truth will manifest. This way, we're walking in truth will manifest. It will manifest his word, his power, and favor. That's what it will manifest, walking in truth. It will manifest his word, his power, because you have power to overcome, won't you? And favor, as we call it, flavor, because you want to be the salt of the earth, don't you? Allowing you to be a witness of the love, power, and truth. So you can be a witness to others of the love of God, the power of God, and the truth of God. So others can believe. Because, you know, the world's looking for a sign and wonder. Because there's a lot of lies out there. Amen? There's a lot of lies out there. Trust me. There's a lot of things going on now. The world is already blinded. But now it's becoming more blinded. It's going into the churches. There's churches out there that, I'm sorry, I can't see a church that believes in having homosexuality as being right before the Lord. I can't see when it says in the word that it defiles. It's not right. But my community, I'm speaking about my community that I've seen in my community in the black churches, that they allowed them to come in and head the worship ceremony because of the talents and the gifts that they have. But they don't even know that person is dying and going to hell. And they're not convicting that person to get them right before God. And how can you have somebody that's walking ungodly to lead the most powerful thing to get to God? Worship and praise. Huh? Amen. Praise and worship. It opens the heavens. You can't open the heavens if you're defiled. If your heart's not right. And when people say, well, God is love. Yeah, God is just too. He's a just God. If it's that way, then I could be a crack addict and keep on smoking crack and saying God's all right with me. I have to change my heart to do the things according to his will. Not according to the way I see things fit, to change the word of God to contaminate his word. And that's like anything else. Then they have pedophiles having their church. People that sleep with animals have a church. Why not? Satan don't have no boundaries. He don't play fair. He's evil. And as long as you're evil, he'll bring you to darkness, to outer darkness, to darkness, or to another place of darkness. He don't care. He don't care what you think. As long as you touch and agree with his voice. That's all he wants you to do. And it's going on in the churches now. It's becoming like a country club instead of a place of salvation and truth being taught. becoming big shows. You know, I'm a pastor's kid. I watched it when I was growing up. I didn't understand it when I was growing up, but I seen it. I see it now. Even in that, you got to understand something. Who's the ruler of the earth? Satan. He goes to and fro to seek out who he may devour, right? Is he still doing it? Has he stopped? In the days, many will fall from the faith, right? Taking heed of doctrines of demons and deceiving spirits. These are the last days. And these things are manifesting today. Don't wait for tomorrow. It's going on right now. You got to be careful who you're talking to. Because they can bring a deception right into you and change your belief system quickly if you don't know the truth. Amen. Psalms 127. Verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who built it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for so he gives his beloved sheep. Sleep, I'm sorry. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like an arrow in the hands of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is a man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies in the gates. Every day we should be walking in the supernatural. Amen. Every day we should be walking in the supernatural. Should be looking, being a watchman, watching what's going on, making sure things don't enter into the camp, kicking out those things that's in the camp. Make sure things don't enter inside our own selves so that we can be clean and purified so that we can watch what's going on. Because if your eye is dark, your whole body is dark, how can you see? First, you got to get that eye cleaned out so you can see, be a watchman, to watch the gates so you can speak to the enemy. You know who the enemy is? Those demons, fallen angels. That's what that you're looking for. You got to remember, we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers of darkness, wickedness, hosts in the heavenlies, and we got to go against those so that you can change the person. We're so busy looking at the people, we got to go after those spirits. If we go after those spirits, then we can save that person. But if that person is willing to follow that spirit, then you just have to pray for that person that they will one day come to their senses. One day they can come to their senses and escape hell. Because right now their soul's in hell. Because as they touch and agree with Satan, their soul's in hell. They walk in anger, bitterness, envy, strife, jealousy, outburst of wrath, all the things that don't associate with the fruits of God. So their mind, their will, and their emotions is in hell, being tormented day and night. Let's go to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 10. This is what every believer should be doing every day. Getting themselves dressed up to get prepared to fight. Because there's a battle going on. And you don't hold up for truth, then you hold up for a lie and don't even know it. It says, finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the trickery of the devil. Wiles mean trickery. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rules of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day and having done all, what? Stand. So when everything seems like it's failing, when everything seems like it's not going right, when you're having a bad year, forget about a bad day. Sometimes the season could be long. You still stand. Stand on his word. Stand on his promises. Stand on his truth. You stand on it because it's just a season. Seasons come and they go. But if you don't go through that season, how else can God manifest his truth towards you? His power, his love. How else? But if you run out of there and and leave it, you're going to bring it that season and make it longer. Longer than it should have been. Because it's your own belief system and not allowing to believe in the truth. Because we all sometimes have a tendency to have our own belief system, don't we? Get caught up with our own thinking. God can't do this. It's too small for him. God wants to be a part of your everyday life and decision just like Satan wants to be. But sometimes we forget that he's a part of it. It says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with what? Truth. Can't fight with your pants now. Can't fight with your pants. You can't hold anything up. I like how pastors say that when these boys have their pants all the way down with their underwear showing and all that stuff. That's nasty. I'm sorry. That's nasty. That's degrading manhood. It's degrading manhood. Don't you know Satan wants men to be women and women to be men today? Why? Because it changes the course of God's creation. So man can't produce man with man, women with women. You can't be fruitful and multiply, can you? Because he don't like humankind of creation. So he got to find a way to kill it. And he does a good job of it because of stinking thinking of people, how they think, and not going by what God... This is the manual to show us how to live. Just like you have a manual for a car, have a manual for a refrigerator, a manual for anything that you have bought out of stores, anything. This is a manual for our life so that how we can live and not get destroyed by what we can't see. Because you can't fight what you can't see. But if you have eyes to see, you'll be able to see it. But you have to have the anointing to do it and walk in truth. Because if you walk in truth, you won't allow the defilement to come in. It says, standing therefore, girding your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts as the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit with the word of God. Praying always with the prayer, supplication, and the Spirit. I've offended some religious demons now. That's a gift. First gift that God has given us that we need to practice. Gives revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge. Overcome temptation. Change your heart, too. If you believe, you got to believe. You got to believe. You don't believe, you got to believe in something. May as well believe in truth. You got to believe in something. Now it says, being watchful to the end, with all perseverance, supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. No shame. I'm not ashamed to speak the words of God. I'm not ashamed. Back in the day, I used to be ashamed, you know, because I was ashamed because I was full of evil. You know, being a pastor kid, you know, sometimes we're the worst one on the block. Yeah. And God had to bring me through some changes. He had to bring some correction. He had to spank me a few times. Because, you know, you got a hard head sometimes, you know. You got to spank that child a few times to get it right. Sometimes they still don't listen. But I thank God for allowing me to have to consider to want to come into the house of God and learn from him something new. Something new. And seeing the miracles that he's done. And you got to remember, I wasn't always good. I was faithful. I wasn't always perfect, but I was faithful. Continue being faithful means that you're changing, trying to get somewhere where you haven't been before, going higher heights. Cancel out those things of yesterday. Continue to grab onto those things that's before you. That as you're reaching towards heaven, heaven's reaching towards you. And that's truth. Let's go to James 3. No, the enemy don't want you to see what Jesus sees. The enemy don't want you to see what Jesus sees. So as you have the eyes of Christ, you're able to see. You'll be able to hold back anger. You'll be able to hold back when you want to cuss somebody out. You know, sometimes people get out of line and the words want to come out your mouth and you hold them back. Because you don't want to defile what? The temple. Your mind is changed. You just don't let anything splur out your mouth anymore. You just hold back. And instead of doing that, you use another tongue. God be the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You use those tongues. Those tongues bring blessings, don't they? Huh? It don't even, and as a blessing comes out, where they go? They come back in. And they go where? To your heart. And so now you can keep the peace of God within you. Because the kingdom of God is within you, ain't it? So you can keep the kingdom within you. So you can keep moving forward. Because there's always time. Satan always wants to stop you from doing something. Because you know that there's somebody coming that you need to talk to. So he wants to push you out of the way so you can be disturbed and everything else. And that person passes by because you're walking in bitterness and anger. And you can't see that person needs help. James 3. Verse 13. Who is wise and understand among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. Willing to yield. Willing. That's the important part. You have to be willing. But you don't know what they did. You got to be willing. But I want to be willing. Yes, Lord. I know, I see what they do. Yes, Lord. I'm willing to, yield because I'm ready to do something that my flesh is quivering to do. But I'm willing to yield so that you can get glory out of this. Amen. Full of mercy and good what? Fruits. What's fruits? Patient, love, gentleness, kindness, meekness, huh? Self-control. Without partiality and without what? Hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who what? Make peace. So we're supposed to strive to make peace. And you know, you can correct somebody in love. You can chastise somebody in love too. You know, sometimes I have to spank my children. I don't do it when I'm angry. I wait till I settle down. Then I get them. This hurt me more than you. I'd rather see my child spanked than to allow the cops out there to kill him. Because I didn't discipline my child in that house the right way, out of love. And let that child know love too, because I love my child a lot. But I do chastise him when he needs to be chastised. Because I'd rather see him protected in God's love and knowing that God loves him than going out into that world and be taught the wrong way of living. Amen. There's no love out in the streets. There's no love out there. There's hate, bitterness, lust, but not no love. Not genuine love, anyhow. Amen. Last scripture, let's go to Joshua. We're going to end at Joshua. Joshua. Joshua 24. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river, and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. We all came out of Egypt, didn't we? Egypt represents the world, right? Okay? And it seems evil to you to serve the Lord. Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Anybody believe that for their house? Amen. What house are we talking about? This house right here. This house. If you get this house right, true ministry house will be all right because you become the house within the house. Amen. Amen? So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the ways that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. But Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is holy God. He is a jealous God. God, he will not forgive your transgression nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do harm and consume you after he has done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. So Joshua said to the people, you are a witness against yourself, and you have chosen the Lord for yourself to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now, therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods. That means the things that we hold fast to the world, even ourselves, because we can be an idol to God ourselves. If we put ourselves before God, then we become an idol. That's when we have to deny ourselves. Okay? Which is among you, and incline your heart to the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God will serve, and his voice we will obey. That means they will obey truth. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Then Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness to us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord, which he spoke to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, each of to his own inheritance. And today we put the altar here. We put it before God, and we give it to him and say we want to serve him. Each and every person that came to total freedom and came through the house of God here has said that they was willing to do whatever it took. That's the first thing we ask before you come here. Are you willing to do whatever it takes? And if you're not willing to do whatever it takes, then you're lying to God. Because you came with your mouth service, but you didn't want to surrender your heart to him. And God wants everything. He wants your heart, your hands, your eyes. He wants everything. He wants your feet so he can order your steps. He wants your hands so you don't touch cursed items, so you can defile yourself. And most of all, what God wants is your love. Because if you love him, you'll trust him. And if you trust him, you'll obey him. And if you obey him, you'll abide by his truth.